Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Big transfer news today.
Who's moving?
Me. To the couch with Domino's best deal ever since they just added stuffed crust.
Any pizza, any toppings, now with stuffed crust for $9.99.
It's a long-term contract with no release clause.
Only $9.99? Yeah, that sounds like the move. I'm heading straight to
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6/15 through 7/26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots. Live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is The Big Breakdown, a long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The beginning of an abusive relationship is almost never what you think it is. There's no first date where someone leans across the table and says, "Honey, I am going to systematically dismantle your sense of self over the next 18 months, and you're not even going to realize I'm doing it." Isn't this creme brulee amazing? There's no moment where a switch just flips and suddenly you realize you're trapped. That's the movie version. The real version is worse because the real version feels like the best relationship you've ever had. That's the part nobody warns you about. The early phases of a coercive control relationship don't feel dangerous. It feels like healing. It feels like someone's finally seeing you. Really seeing you for the first time. The attention is constant. The affection is overwhelming. The texts come all day. The compliments are specific and disarming. I've never met anyone like you. I can't stop thinking about you. I don't know what I did before you. It feels like being chosen, being wanted, being the center of someone's entire world. That's exactly the problem. Because what feels like devotion in month one is actually reconnaissance. What feels like passion is actually acquisition. And by the time the walls go up, you're already inside of them. And you have no idea how you got there. In part one of this series, we talked about what coercive control is. Today, we're talking about how it's built brick by brick. So slowly, you never feel the walls rising. Until you maybe do, and that's when Monique Tepe got out. The clinical term is love bombing, and calling it that makes it sound calculated and obvious. It's neither, at least not from where you're standing when it's happening to you. Love bombing is the flood of attention, affection, and emotional intensity that characterizes the early phases of a relationship with a coercive controller. It's not just being nice to you, it's being everything to you. It's filling every gap in your life before you even knew the gaps were there. And it works because it targets your real needs. If you've been through bad relationships, if you've been lonely, if your self-worth is taking hits, someone treating you like you're extraordinary doesn't raise alarms, it feels like the thing you've been waiting for. You're not being naive. You're being human. The need to be loved is and valued isn't a weakness. It's the most basic thing we carry. And a coercive controller knows exactly how to tap into it because they've been studying you from the start. What makes you laugh? What makes you anxious? What you're afraid of? What you dream about? They're taking inventory and giving you back exactly what you need in order for you to trust them completely. The rush to commitment is part of the blueprint. Moving in together fast, getting engaged fast, merging finances, merging friends groups, merging lives before you've even had enough time to see who this person really is outside the performance they've constructed for you. The speed feels romantic. When you know, right? But the urgency isn't about love. It's about locking the door before you realize you want to leave. Michael McKee and Monique Sabaturski started dating around 2011 or 2013. The timeline comes from photos and social media, not court records. By all visible appearances, it looked like a normal, happy couple. He was in medical school at Ohio State. She was working, building her career. The photos from that period show smiles, events, friends, nothing that would make anyone look twice. They married in August of 2015, and by March of 2016, approximately 7 months of living together, the date of separation was filed. Whatever happened in that window, it was severe enough that Monique allegedly recognized the danger and moved fast. The question isn't why she married him. Looking from the outside, there was nothing to see. The question is what changed, or what was finally revealed once the commitment was secured and the performance was no longer necessary. Because that's the pivot. And it's the part that catches everyone off guard. The calls that felt caring start to feel mandatory. Just checking in becomes, why didn't you pick it up? The question about your day stop feeling like interest and start feeling like interrogation. The jealousy that seemed flattering. He just loves me so much, he can't stand the thought of losing me. Starts to feel like surveillance. And each shift is so small, so incremental, that you barely register it is happening. It goes like this. I just want to know you're safe. Becomes, why didn't you tell me you were going there? I don't really trust that friend of yours becomes, I don't want you seeing her anymore. You don't need to work. I'll take care of us becomes, you can't afford to leave. Each step in isolation seems manageable, reasonable, even if you tilt your head right. He's protective. She's passionate. They just care a lot. You make excuses because the alternative, admitting that the person who made you feel so loved is now making you feel so small. It's too painful to process, so you adjust, you accommodate, you give a little ground, then a little more, then a little more, and by the time you realize how much ground you've lost, you can't even remember what the original landscape looked like. This is where the unwritten rules take over. Nobody hands you the manual, but the behavioral code is absolute. You learn it through consequences, through the silent treatment that lasts 2 days, because you wore the wrong thing. Through the explosive anger because you came home 15 minutes late. Through the icy withdrawal because you laughed too loud with a friend at dinner. You learn what triggers the punishment and you recognize your entire existence around avoiding it. You stop wearing certain things. You stop mentioning certain people. You plan your words before you say them. You rehearse conversations in your head to predict how they'll react. You become an expert in their moods, reading micro expressions, interpreting noise, calibrating your behavior minute by minute, not because you want to, because your safety depends on it. And your entire time, nobody outside the relationship sees any of this. That's the part that makes coercive control so devastating and so hard to escape. The abuser's public face and private face are two completely different people. Charming at parties, warm with friends, generous with colleagues, respected at work, the cruelty is just private. The control is domestic. And the gap between those two realities creates a trap within the trap. Even if you wanted to tell someone, who would you believe? Or who would believe you? McKee was, by all documented accounts, an accomplished and credentialed professional, National Merit Scholar, varsity football player, Ohio State Medical School graduate, general surgery residency, vascular surgery fellowship, board certified surgeon, licensed in multiple states. There is no documented criminal history beyond traffic citations. His public profile was impeccable. And yet, according to witnesses who spoke with investigators after the murders behind closed doors, he allegedly threatened to kill Monique, allegedly strangled her, and allegedly forced S on her. Two completely different people occupying the same body. One for the world and one for the person trapped in the room with him. That duality isn't a contradiction. It's the operating system. The public success is the shield. It guarantees that when the victim finally speaks up, if they speak up, the first reaction from everyone around them will be disbelief. Him? No way. He's a doctor. He's so nice. You must be exaggerating. That brings us to the thing I hear people say all the time when these stories come out. Why didn't she see the red flags? Here's why that question is garbage. Red flags require perspective. You cannot see a pattern when you're inside it. Love bombing feels like love. Jealousy feels like care. Intensity feels like passion. The rush to commitment feels like destiny. These aren't red flags in real time. They're only red flags in hindsight, after you've already been through it, after you've already been hurt, after you've already rebuilt enough of yourself to look back and see the architecture for what it was. Asking someone to have identified manipulation while it was actively being deployed against them is like asking someone to read the blueprint of a building while they're trapped inside of it with the lights off. The responsibility for what happened doesn't belong to the person who was deceived. It belongs to the person who did the deceiving. Full stop. And the secondary responsibility, the one we don't talk about enough, belongs to all of us. Because we're not teaching people what these patterns look like before they're in one. We wait until after. We wait until the damage is done. We wait until someone is sitting in a therapist's office or a courtroom or a hospital bed. And then we say, yeah, those were red flags. Thanks. That's helpful now. If you're listening to this or watching this and you're blaming yourself for not seeing it or for falling for it or for believing someone who is specifically and deliberately engineered to be believed, I need you to hear this clearly. You did not miss the signs. The signs were disguised as everything you ever wanted. That's not naivete. It's not stupidity. That's the entire point of the manipulation. You were targeted not because you're weak, but because you're human. Because you wanted to be loved, because you trusted. And the person who exploited that trust is the one who should carry the weight of what happened, not you. Never you. In part three, we're going to confront the hardest question in domestic violence, the one that gets asked in every comment section, every courtroom, every family dinner when this topic comes up. Why didn't she just leave? And the answer to that question is going to make you angry, not at victims, at everything else. Press subscribe so you don't miss it. It's coming up here in the feed. Let me know your thoughts on all that in the comment section. Substack, just go to hiddenkillers.substack.com or in the comment section on YouTube. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and you will find us there. Love to read those comments and hear from you every single day. We're getting through them. We're trying to get through them even more efficiently now than ever before. So please love hearing from you out there. And be sure to press subscribe if you're enjoying what we're doing and our reporting is valuable to you. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. That goes a long way. We really do appreciate that. All right. Hit subscribe. We'll continue our conversation in the comments. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There was no police report. I want you to sit with that for a second. According to witnesses who spoke to investigators, Monique Tepe allegedly lived through death threats during her marriage. Witnesses told detectives that her ex-husband allegedly strangled her, that he allegedly forced her to do that, that he allegedly told her he could kill her at any time. 7 months of marriage, and according to the people closest to her, it was allegedly 7 months of terror. And there's not a single police report, not one. No restraining order, no documented complaint, not a call to a hotline, nothing. If you pulled her name through every law enforcement database in Ohio, you'd find a woman with a clean record who got a quiet divorce in 2017 and moved on with her life. That's what it looks like from the outside. From the outside, this was a short marriage that didn't work out. Two people who weren't compatible. It happens every day, right? But that gap between what this looked like from the outside and what it allegedly felt like on the inside is the entire point of what we're talking about today. Because that gap has a name, and most people have never heard of it. Or if they've heard of it, they don't really understand what it means. And that lack of understanding is getting people killed. What are we talking about today? What is the show brought to you by? It's brought to you by two words, coercive and control. Put them together, you have coercive control. And this isn't really about the Tepe case, not today. This is about a pattern that affects millions of people who will never make the news, who will never have their name spoken on a podcast, whose suffering will never generate a single headline. This is about the person listening right now who just left something or just felt something in their chest when I described what Monique allegedly went through. Not because they followed this case, because they recognized it. Is that you? Were you someone who felt something in your chest when we were talking about those scenarios? Stick around if you did, because we're going to be talking about what coercive control actually is. Because I promise you, most people have it wrong. While we go through this, if you're finding it valuable, leave us your thoughts, your opinions, your experiences in the comments section, either on our Substack, hiddenkillers.substack.com. The link is in the description, or on our YouTube channel. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Wherever it is, hit that subscribe button right now so you don't miss any of our reporting on this. This is the beginning of a five-part series this week on coercive control. We're going to be talking all about the Tepe case and all about how what happened here happens every day across the country. It does. And it doesn't get talked about, and it gets swept under the rug, and we're supposed to pretend, oh, you know, it just those things. This sort of stuff happens all the time. Not always does it lead to this type of an outcome, but the damage, the hell, the fear, the things that Monique was going through up until her death. Millions are suffering with this all the time. So we're going to open the lid on this. We're going to jump into Pandora's box and go down this rabbit hole and expose it for every single dark cavern that it holds. So hit subscribe. When we hear domestic violence, we picture bruises, right? Black eyes, broken bones, hospital visits, and police photos. And visible, undeniable damage. And that version of abuse, it is real. It's devastating. It matters. It's not the whole picture, though. For millions of people, it's not their picture at all. Their abuse doesn't leave marks you can photograph. It doesn't leave evidence a prosecutor can hold up in court. See? It leaves something worse. Marks in how you think, how you see yourself, whether you trust your own mind. Coercive control operates below the bruise line. It's behavioral, it's psychological, it's environmental. It's a system of domination that doesn't need fists to function. And for decades, it didn't even have a name. And if you weren't being hit, the legal system had almost nothing for you. In some places, it doesn't to this day. Therapists called it a troubled relationship. Cops called it a civil matter. Your friends called it drama. And you called it your life because you didn't have language for what you actually had that was going on around you. That changed when a researcher named Evan Stark published work that reframed domestic abuse not as a series of incidents, but as a pattern of ongoing captivity. He called it coercive control, and the framework finally gave millions of people a way to describe what they'd been living through. Not individual acts of violence, but a sustained campaign of domination designed to strip autonomy, isolate, and control another human being. Here's the part that should bother you. Coercive control is now recognized as a criminal offense in the United Kingdom. In Scotland, in Ireland, in parts of Australia, in most of the United States where Monique Tepe lived and died, it still isn't. That gap between what we know and what we've codified into law is not academic. It's the difference between intervention and obituary. So what does coercive control actually look like in practice? Not in a textbook. In a life. In your life. With the life of someone you love. It looks like isolation. Not dramatic, not overnight. Gradual. It starts with opinions. I don't like how your sister talks to you. Your friends don't really have your best interests at heart. Nobody understands you like I do. Each comment seems small, right? Even kind of endearing. Each one is responsible or reasonable if you squint. You understand me like no one else? How? Wow. Oh. But over weeks and months, the circle shrinks. The people who would have noticed something wrong are gone, nudged out, criticized away, replaced only by the voice left in the room. Theirs. And it looks like monitoring, checking your phone, needing to know where you are at every moment, showing up unannounced to surprise you, but really just to verify. Jealousy framed as devotion. I just worry about you becomes, why didn't you answer on the first ring? The surveillance is constant, but it wears a mask of love. And when you push back, you're the one with the problem. You're being ungrateful. You're being secretive. You're making them feel insecure. The monitoring isn't the issue. Your resistance is, right? It also looks like financial control, restricting access to bank accounts, requiring justification for every purchase, creating dependence so total that leaving isn't just emotionally terrifying, it's materially impossible. You can't afford a deposit on an apartment. You can't afford a lawyer. You can't afford to feed yourself for a week without their money. That's not an accident. That's architecture. It looks like weaponized intimacy. S as an obligation, S as punishment, S as the peace or the price of peace, the erosion of bodily autonomy inside a relationship that the rest of the world sees as normal, as loving, as fine. No one asks what happens behind the bedroom door of a couple that looks happy at dinner parties. And the person inside that bedroom has been taught that what's happening to them is what love requires. It looks like identity erosion. Constant criticism dressed up as coercion. You'd look so much better if you just... dot, dot, dot. I'm only saying this because I care about you. You're too sensitive. Nobody else would put up with you. Drip, drip, drip. And your confidence dissolves. Your sense of self gets edited, rewritten by someone who needs your small, uncertain, and you dependent on their approval for your own sense of reality. You stop trusting your own judgment. You stop trusting your own memory. You start asking them what happened, what was said, what you should think, because your own mind doesn't feel reliable anymore. And it looks like rules without walls, an entire behavioral code that's never written down, but is absolutely enforced. You can wear, who you can talk to, how long you can be gone, what tone of voice is acceptable. There are no locks on the doors. You can leave the house anytime, but you're not free. The prison is invisible. And the bars are made of consequences you've learned to predict and avoid. According to witnesses who spoke with investigators in the Tepe case, McKee allegedly told Monique he could kill her at any time and that she will always be his wife. I want you to hear those words not as threats and a criminal complaint, but as what they allegedly are, ownership language. That's not the vocabulary of anger. That's the vocabulary of someone who allegedly viewed another human being as property that had been stolen from him. She will always be his wife. Not a statement of love. Allegedly a statement of title. And it reportedly happened inside a marriage that lasted approximately 7 months, which tells you something about the alleged intensity of control. Monique apparently recognized it fast and got out fast, but according to family members, the shadow of those words followed her for years. Here's what I need you to understand about why people living inside this don't always recognize it as abuse. The cultural definition of domestic violence still requires a fist. If he's not hitting you, you talk yourself out of it. He's just jealous. She just has a temper. It's not that bad. Other people have it worse. At least he doesn't hit me. That last one is the most dangerous sentence in the English language for someone in a coercive control relationship. At least he doesn't hit me. Because it becomes the measuring stick. As long as I'm not being hit, this isn't abuse. As long as there's no bruises, I'm fine. As long as it's just words, just rules, just monitoring, just control over every aspect of my existence, I'm fine. Fine, fine, fine. It's great. Everything's fine. You're not fine. And the reason you can't see it clearly is because the confusion is the point. When control is introduced gradually, when the temperature rises slowly enough, your baseline shifts. What alarmed you in month one feels normal by month six. You adjust. You accommodate, you shrink yourself to fit the space they've already so nicely built for you. And you do it so gradually that you don't even notice how small you've become. That's the design. That's the engineering. Your inability to name what's happening isn't a failure of intelligence. It's proof that the system is working exactly as intended. People in coercive control relationships describe feeling crazy. Feeling like they're overreacting. Feeling like something is deeply wrong, but unable to articulate what it is because nothing visible is wrong. There are no bruises to point out. There's no accidents or incidents and dramatic enough to report. There's just low-grade, constant sense of dread. Of walking on eggshells, of performing your life instead of living it. And when you try to explain all of this to someone who hasn't experienced it, you sound like you're complaining about a bad relationship, not describing captivity. And here's a part that doesn't get talked about enough. This doesn't just live in your head. It lives in your body. Coercive control triggers the same chronic stress response as any sustained physical threat. Elevated cortisol, disrupted sleep, autoimmune responses, digestive problems, chronic pain with no identifiable cause. Your body is processing sustained psychological danger the same way it would process a physical one. Because to your nervous system, there is no difference. The threat is real, your captivity is real, and your body knows it, even when your conscious mind is still making excuses. Research on survivors of coercive control shows PTSD rates comparable to combat veterans and hostage survivors. That comparison isn't dramatic, it's clinical. The mechanism is the same: prolonged captivity under threat with no predictable and no reliable escape. The only difference is context. One happens in a war zone, the other happens in your kitchen. Believe me, when I first heard the word survivor after escaping a coercive control relationship, I thought it sounded crazy. I thought, no, that word should really be reserved for people who truly are survivors. You don't realize how much you survived at that moment until you put a little distance between yourself and the trauma, and you start going, oh God. And it's not because you want to live the life of a victim or hold on to that mentality. I hate that. That's never productive, no matter what you've gone through. But because you realize the mountains, the rivers, and the valleys that you've gone through, and you can use those experiences to better chart your path forward. Because you did survive all of that. If you're still here, you're realizing this, you are a survivor. As crazy as that word may sound, you've earned the title. So if you're listening right now and something I've said in the last few minutes hit a nerve, if you recognized any of this, not from a case file, but from your own life, I want to be very clear about something. You are not crazy. What happened to you, what's happening to you right now, has a name. It's documented. It's studied. It's real. Researchers have mapped it. Countries have criminalized it. Survivors have testified to it. And none of it, not one single piece of it, is your fault. You didn't cause this by being too sensitive, too trusting, too naive, or too weak. This was done to you by someone who needed to believe those things about yourself, you to believe those things about yourself, because your self-doubt was the mortar holding their prison together. And this is just part one. In part two, we're going to be talking about how this starts, because nobody walks into it with their eyes open. The trap is built to be invisible. Love bombing, escalation, the slow pivot from devotion to domination, understanding how it's constructed is the first step to seeing through it, and seeing through it is how you get out of it alive. That's coming up on the feed. Press subscribe so you don't miss it. Wherever you're listening to this, wherever you're watching it, hit that subscribe button right now. And if you have a story you want to share, if this is resonating with you, we'd love to hear it. And so would others who are also listening and watching this going, damn, maybe I need to take a closer look at what's going on in my life. Or just cathartically taking this and going, yep, been there, done that. Because sometimes that's just part of healing too. Even when you've gotten through the thick of it, little reminders of where you came from make where you are all the more meaningful. Give me your thoughts in the comments section. I would love to see them. Substack, hiddenkillers.substack.com, or on our YouTube channel, Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. The links are in the descriptions. And like I said, please press subscribe. And if you're finding this valuable and you use Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Greatly appreciate that. Goes a long way to helping other folks discover our material as well. Thanks in advance for that. All right, we'll continue the conversation in the comments. Until then, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
The Cup is down to its final matches, and DraftKings has you covered for every single one. The DraftKings app is now available in all 50 states, so whether it's a shootout, a penalty kick, or just a regular time decision, it all happens at DraftKings. The markets are bringing the game straight to your fingertips. Wherever you are, it's DraftKings. Get the Cup going. And for new DraftKings customers, sign up with my code KSR. Spend $5 to get $200 in rewards within 21 days. That's the code KSR in partnership with DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Bet with DK Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 1-800-MY-RESET. Connecticut, call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino in Kansas, bet tax pass-through may apply in Illinois. 21 and over. Void in Canada. Event contract trading with DraftKings predictions involves risk of loss. Availability varies. Bet to get bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Trade to get $50 in predictions dollars that expire in 1 year. Issued every 7 days via click-to-claim for 21 days. One non-withdrawable reward redeemable. Predictions offer void in New York. Ends July 19th. Terms at dkng.co/audio.
Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Get the best quality paints from Dutch Boy for all your projects at Menards. Maxbond Plus exterior paint and primer in one is designed to stand strong against extreme weather. It provides max adhesion, hide, and performance, and repels rain in just 90 minutes after application. And with Dutch Boy's high-performing paints that last, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards today and get your paint project started.
Save big money at
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's called soccer.
It's called football.
Soccer.
Football.
Domino's Best Deal Ever lets you get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99.
Okay, we can agree on that.
Yeah, fully.
So, pineapple? Don't ruin it. Get any pizza, including stuffed crust, with any toppings for $9.99. Finally, something everyone can get behind.
And if the refs disagree, that's between them and Domino's. Which means the only thing left to fight over is who's ordering.
Domino's.
Prices higher for some locations. Excludes XL and specialty pizzas. Select this offer from 6:15 to 7:26. Online only. Size availability varies by crust type. Max 7 toppings. 6 for pan and New York style crust. Minimum purchase required for delivery. Prices, participation, delivery area, and charges may vary.